nice to have some people before me as I prepare my homily and deliver the homily, because in the last couple of weeks I do my preparation and then I have nobody in front of me. I record it, as you know, and then put it onto our website. It's much easier when I've got people there. But in the light of tonight's gospel, giving my homily and recording it, that means nothing to people who are deaf, does it? They will not be able to hear it. Being here and counting numbers will mean nothing to people who are blind, because they wouldn't see it. The first reading in the gospel this weekend really help us focus on what it is to have all of our senses, to value them and use them well and wisely. It's a beautiful saint, Saint Irenaeus, very powerful man in the second century after Jesus was born. And he had a beautiful saying. He says, "The glory of God is mankind fully alive." The glory of God is mankind fully alive. If I was to put that into today's gospel context, the glory of God is a person who is able to use wisely all of their senses and therefore reflect the love and the beauty of God, fully alive. It is a struggle for people who may feel that they cannot be fully alive because they may not be able to hear or speak, or they might not be able to see. And one of the signs, I believe, of the COVID virus is that we lose our taste, and it may even be we lose some of our smell as well. So once those senses go, it makes a person less than fully alive. In one sense. In another sense, it heightens all of those senses. And a person who loses their sight, for example, their capacity to hear becomes much greater. Their sense of touch and feel is much greater. And that seems to be what the body does when it's damaged in some way. The gospel today is unique. It's only mentioned in Mark. Not in any of the other Gospels. And we also have Jesus being so sensitive to the man that was brought forward. In this miracle story, Jesus performs seven actions, and they are all to do with the senses. He takes the man away, but before that even, let me remind you, this man did not come to Jesus. He was brought to Jesus. He was brought to Jesus by the crowd, we're told, by other friends. I'm going to come back to that in a minute because it relates to our prayers of the faithful, our prayers of intercession. But this man's friends, they brought him to Jesus. Jesus then takes the man away on his own. So you've got a lot of movement happening, coming to and moving away. And then Jesus puts spit on his own finger and he touches the man's tongue. So the touch and the spit was always seen in biblical times as something which was to purify. And I think even now at some weddings stemming from the Mediterranean region, I think even now they still spit as a sign of a blessing, as a sign of keeping evil away. And that's what Jesus has done here. He has taken his spit and he's put it on his finger, on the man's tongue, we're told. So Jesus is very physical. He only says one word after he sighs. And we're told in the scriptures that he gives a sigh. In the Greek translation, it's a groan. So something much deeper is the emphasis, it seems to me. But Jesus gives this sigh, which would be a sigh of saying, "I am with you. I understand you." And we should remember that when we are feeling overburdened by our pain or our suffering, or we're suffering from some kind of disability in some way at a particular time, or perhaps for a very long time. But that sigh is Jesus uniting himself, his breath, with ours. we are not alone. And I think that's also the reason why Jesus took the man away. Didn't do some magic trick in front of a crowd, took him away on his own so that he could be with him very, very personally. And so we can remember that in our suffering, Jesus is personally with us. We have the beautiful sacrament of the anointing of the sick, in which through the grace of that sacrament, Jesus physically touches us as well. And in fact, all of the sacraments have a physicalness about them, a physicality. They're not just words. There are things that are said, but things that are done in every one of the seven sacraments that allow us to touch into this gospel, where Jesus' hand comes forward and physically touches. That is very, very important to remember. He then says to the crowd, don't tell anybody. And the reason that he says that is because he doesn't want people to move Jesus into some magic Messiah. The people were all waiting for something grand to happen, and they did not understand at this stage that this was not about magic. This was about the power of God. That's what Christ's healing is. It is the power of God making us as men and women fully alive, as Saint Irenaeus says. And of course, in their excitement, they can't contain themselves. And I think most of us in our humanness would understand that. This friend who couldn't speak and couldn't hear can now hear and speak. He is back with us. He is whole. He is fully alive with us, they would have thought. And of course, the excitement would have been great. This all happens, we're told, in the Decapolis region, which is a non-Jewish area. Happens amongst the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And so once again, it is those who are not the chosen people who recognise the power of God, making them fully alive. I just want to go back to the crowd bringing this man forward. We do the very same thing every time we have our prayers of the faithful, our prayers of intercession. It's exactly what we do. We physically bring forward those people who we need to pray for, who we see need our prayers. You will hear the prayers in a moment, and they are very specific. When I write them, they are very specific for the needs of the world and the needs of our parish. Those prayers are this parish, and you, my dear friends, are representing the whole parish. We are bringing forward, and I've said tonight, we're bringing forward the needs of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, and Archbishop Christopher as they lead the church in these challenging times. I pray this weekend for the people of Afghanistan and all the pain that they have been going through, and particularly for those men and women who have served over in Afghanistan and now may be challenged, thinking that all of their time was wasted. We pray for the women and the girls of Afghanistan particularly, and I remember the 41 Australian servicemen who lost their lives over the last 20 years. Can you understand what I'm saying now? When we bring forward not just the deaf man, we bring forward everybody in our prayers of intercession. They are very important. We pray for fathers this weekend. And we pray for, I always include our deceased fathers, those of us whose dads have been recalled to heaven to be fully alive with God. We pray for all of those who have gone before us marked with the sign of faith. So in our prayers that we bring forward, there is an order. We start with the leader of the church, we're always with the Pope, and then we finish with our faithful departed, our family members and friends. And in the middle, we pack in the deaf, the mute, the blind, our sick, and all of those special needs locally and across the world. And a lot of people might think that the prayers of the faithful, oh yeah, Lord hear us, Lord hear our prayer. Please don't think like that. There's a lot of thought goes into specifically targeting our energy and making our ears open wider and our eyes open wider, and therefore our hearts open wider to the needs of these people that I have just mentioned, their great needs. So on this Father's Day weekend, I'm very conscious that there will be fathers who cannot be with their children. There will be fathers who are perhaps in isolation, really locked down with their children. And that could be tumultuous in itself, depending on the age of the kids and how well they behave, I guess. There are those who have father figures in their life. And somebody beautifully sent me a message on praying for all the fathers, the priests of our church, especially those in our own archdiocese who nurture and lead our people. I put all of those intentions before you with the crowd who brought the deaf and the mute man forward. Jesus touched him, Jesus touches us. And it is in that touch, our being here even tonight, it is in that touch and in the Eucharist we are about to share that we give and we demonstrate the glory of God because we are fully alive. Thanks be to God.